The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Live in the Carter Subaru studio, you are listening to The Dory Monson Show. I am Jason Rantz, filling in for him for the next 3 hours. He returns on Monday. We got a lot of breaking news happening all across the region. Let's start with The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
I want to set expectations right at the start because everyone knows, of course, what happened earlier this morning in Santa Fe, Texas, where a 17-year-old committed this heinous act of murdering his classmates and a teacher. And, you know, usually when we have these conversations, people are, of course, they're angry and they're out there. They're looking for some sense of relief. And I cannot provide that to anyone. I cannot make you feel better about what happened earlier today. I can tell you what happened. I can tell you what we know about what happened. I can maybe guide us through a conversation of what can be done in the future. But the truth is, and it's something that I think we all have to come to terms with, it's an unfortunate reality that tragedies happen all of the time. We can mitigate the tragedies as best as we can, right? We can get involved and we can put in policies and we can have group conversations, community conversations, national conversations, international conversations. But the truth is, these things unfortunately happen. And it's not necessarily a school shooting story that I'm talking about here, in that bad things happen. Bad things happen. And we get angry, we get anxious, and we try to find answers when sometimes the answers aren't there yet. And we've got a lot of details about today, but we don't necessarily have answers as to the why. We do know that the school shooting took place in Santa Fe, Texas, a place most of you have not heard of. It's about 30 miles southeast of Houston, and the shooter has been identified as Demetrius Pogorchis. He's 17 years old. He's the one who committed this disgusting act.
I heard really loud booms, and I didn't know what they were at first. And then I realized what they were when I heard screaming, and I got up and I ran, and we went on to the stage. And we hid backstage.
Now, the loud booms that she heard, that so many of those students heard, was a shotgun. Demetrios apparently had a shotgun. He was armed with explosives, including pipe bombs and pressure cookers, according to the news reports. This monster decided to walk into an art class, and he started firing. We don't know if he targeted that particular art class or that just happened to be the class that was nearest him when he decided to do this. According to the Houston Chronicle, he also had a handgun and an AR-15. As of right now, the only reports that I've seen is that he used the shotgun in the shooting this morning.
We're making the entry yet. Through the front, by front of the front.
What's well, how's fire?
More shots fired, additional shots fired.
Still have several more shots fired.
He's actually shooting, he's in the art room. We got shots fired right now, guys. We need to help you.
Now, the numbers of those impacted directly have changed throughout the morning. Governor Greg Abbott just moments ago confirmed 10 people are dead. There are earlier reports indicated 9 of those dead were students. 1 was a teacher. We do have an updated number on those injured. It used to be 12. Governor Abbott just said it was 10. Now, we do know that of the injured, at least one of them is believed to be a school resource officer who engaged in some way with the shooter.
My friend got shot in the art hall, and as soon as the alarms went off, everybody just started running outside, and next thing you know, everybody looks, and you hear boom, 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 and I just ran as fast as I could to the nearest forest so I could hide, and I called my mom.
Now, when something like this happens, you always wonder, well, why did the shooter do what he or she did? And in this case, presumably, we're going to be able to find out because, as was the case in Stoneman Douglas, this shooter was taken into custody alive. Now, there's also a second person in custody is being questioned by police. We don't know exactly why yet. We do know that they were simply labeled a person of interest. Is it possible that this person of interest knew about what happened? Because this is a kid who obviously got into contact with illegal weapons. He's not legally allowed to own the weapons that he was using. He certainly is someone who had to have some level of training, whether it was someone who taught him or just going online and trying to figure out how you can create a pipe bomb or a pressure cooker bomb. So we don't yet know who that second person is, but we do know that they are being questioned by authorities. Now, at some point this morning, obviously kids at first didn't exactly know what was going on, but then they had figured it out. They knew immediately, okay, something wrong is happening right now. And so students pulled fire alarms to alert the campus.
He saw the kid walking down the hall, and he looked suspicious and whatnot, like he said he had a gun or something. So he ran. He went down the hall, like walking, you know, casually, didn't want him to know. And then he pulled the fire alarm, so we all went outside. And then we heard three shots. So, you know, I grabbed her. We're all running. So I ran towards the trees because I didn't want to be in sight of whoever, you know, was shooting. And then I called her, my mom, and then I saw four more shots. Or I heard four more shots, and then we ran to this car wash over here.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw some girl. She had a bandage around her kneecap. Apparently she got shot in the kneecap, and she was sitting in the truck or some car, and then the firemen came and got her.
So who is Demetrius Pogorchis? Who is he? Apparently he was a fan of guns. I've been watching a lot of the coverage and listening and reading a lot of the coverage, and people have gone over his social media accounts. They almost immediately were taken down once the name started to circulate in a meaningful way. He was on Instagram. He apparently was on Tumblr. He also had a Facebook page. All have been taken down. I will caution people, if you're looking up his name and you're going into Facebook to try to find his Facebook page, it is not his Facebook page. Someone, and probably multiple people at this point, have created fake pages for him to spread fake news and propaganda. Do not fall for that. But we can tell you that according to his pages before they were taken down, apparently he was a fan of guns, according to his social media accounts. That doesn't really mean anything. Certainly, it means nothing in relationship to predisposing someone to committing a mass shooting. He also posted videos on his YouTube account of rap music. Did that play a role? No, of course not. People don't just decide, hey, I'm interested in guns. I guess I'm going to go shoot people. That's not what happened here. But there may have been some obvious warning signs. And in the conversation we've had about Nicholas Cruz, that one, in the days after the shooting, we learned more and more about his interactions with cops. It was pretty damn obvious that someone dropped the ball, or many people dropped the ball at multiple levels over the course of a very long period of time. We don't know that about him yet, Demetrius. We do know that on his Facebook page, he posted a photo of a t-shirt that said Born to Kill, according to QW39 News. We do know, according to them, that he posted photos of a trench coat with a USSR and a Nazi medal pinned to it. That seems alarming. And when I look at stuff like this, even if he's just posting some images of guns and knives, which apparently he did as well, according to some of these earlier reports, I know that we're not supposed to say this yet because people are jumping on the gun control conversation, which I totally understand. But when you do that, you kind of ignore, I would argue, a seemingly less controversial but more important point, which is, could we have stopped this kid before he went down this path? Where were his parents? Where were the adults in his life? No one knew that he was capable of this kind of crime. You mean to tell me no one in this kid's life had just like a little inkling, a little passing moment even, saying to themselves, there's something wrong with him? That whole posting a photo of a trench coat with a Nazi medal on it, that's not normal. You bought a t-shirt that says Born to Kill, that's not normal. You have a preoccupation with weapons, that's not necessarily normal. Kids don't just pick up a gun and decide to indiscriminately shoot one day. They don't wake up and say, you know what, today I'm going to show up and do something horrible to my classmates. That doesn't happen in an instant. This happens over time. How did he illegally get these guns? How did he create these bombs? And maybe it is as easy as going online and searching how to create a pipe bomb. Maybe it is really easy to set up, as it seems like he did, a series of potential booby traps of bombs at different spots in the area so that when the cops investigate, they end up getting hurt. Maybe it's that easy, but something tells me that he likely didn't have enough responsible adults in his life helping here. And as a result of that, we've got a whole bunch of people, an entire community, yes, an entire country, reeling in the aftermath of something horrible. Because parents are scared.
Something has to be done where these schools are more secure than what they are. I mean, whatever has to be done.
it's come to the point to where my kids don't want to go to school anymore.
And kids are obviously in pain and scared.
Was there a part of you that was like, this isn't real, this would not happen in my school?
No, there wasn't.
Why so?
It's been happening everywhere. I've always kind of felt like eventually it was going to happen here too. So, I don't know. I wasn't surprised, I was just scared.
When I hear something like that, and, you know, Nicole sort of made this point earlier as well, we feel horrible that a student is going to a school, experiences this, and essentially says, I knew it was going to happen sooner or later. And that comes from a place where we are, I think, it's weird. We have to be hyper-focused on a story like this. But the fact is, we're hyper-focused on a story like this because it doesn't happen all the time. I know people want to think, want to pretend, want to believe, for a variety of reasons, playing into their own biases. Maybe it's to satisfy some ideological perspective of being anti-gun. People want to pretend that this happens every single day in this country, and it does not. CNN was super quick to jump on a political campaign against guns. The second sentence, when they first put the story up, said this is either, I believe it was the 22nd school shooting this year in the United States. No, it is not. It is not the 22nd shooting in the United States this year. That is a lie. But it gets repeated. It gets repeated and repeated and repeated again. And what does that do? It freaks kids like this out. They think it's going to happen to their school. Statistically, the likelihood of this happening is very, very, very slim. And yet it still can happen. I opened up the segment by saying it's possible because bad things happen. So what can we do to mitigate them? What can we realistically do to mitigate these issues? Because there's no one out there on either side of like the gun control debate, whether you have an R or a D or an S next to your name, there's no one out there who can confidently say this morning, even before the shooting happened, that we're properly mitigating and properly planning and working hard to make sure this doesn't happen. Where did that conversation go? Where did that conversation go about having more school resource officers at school? Because this particular school resource officer, if the information holds up, because it's based on earlier reporting, presumably he got injured because he was interacting with the actual shooter. Should there be more than one school resource officer there? Should there be more than two? Should there be one point of entrance to schools? Should we have metal detectors? Should we have different policies in place beyond simply talking about gun control that might maybe kind of just sort of make it a little bit harder for someone to wake up one morning and decide, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and shoot up a school. Now, Representative Randy Weber, he's a Republican. He actually represents this particular district. He was on CBS Digital. I was watching the CBS news feed and their digital version, so this was off traditional broadcast. And he was being interviewed by someone named Rena Ninon. And it was weird because she was pressing him for a very specific answer. She wanted a guarantee that this won't happen again. And she kept pushing him. Can you guarantee, what are you going to do in Congress to guarantee that this doesn't happen again?
What could you promise the American people that would give us some hope that at this point this would not get repeated in the United States of America?
You're going to see a balance between, one of the things I mentioned, mental illness, if they've been properly adjudicated where they can't get access to guns. The other side of that coin is probably going to be additional security in schools. So the Congress can provide funding where many of these schools could, you know, what does that look like? We'd have that debate. Does it mean metal detectors? Does it mean gun-sniffing, drug-sniffing dogs, for example? Does it mean more resource officers, you know, in the school and available? So those, that's a conversation. I can promise you that I'd love to see that debate.
So you're saying right now, Congressman, you want to see security. You want to see
literally what he just said
before November for these schools to have metal detectors, and you feel that will make sure this doesn't get repeated in this country?
Well, we'd love for it to be before November. To act that quickly would be a great thing, because one more school shooting is too many. But that is a conversation that I hope we have.
All right, Congressman, I just want to say a lot of people are voting folks in and out of office come November, and this has been a priority for many parents. They send their kids to school, and many of them don't return home. It's being repeated, and we don't have time to go back to Washington and wait and see what will be done. How many more kids need to die in this country, sir, before Capitol Hill says enough is enough?
What would you like them? I mean, because you're deciding to go away from actual journalism at that point, which is fine. I mean, but don't call yourself an anchor who lacks bias. What would you have him do? You're demanding some kind of solution, right? You're asking for that solution, but you're not giving any. He gave a whole bunch of solutions, right, to mitigate the problem. He gave a whole bunch. So what was your response to that? What was your response to that? You want guarantees? The truth is you're not going to get a guarantee. No one, anyone who guarantees, even if they push the most dramatic of gun control legislation, no one can guarantee that this doesn't happen again. And we're getting some texts at 98973. And texts I'm kind of used to this, especially when I fill in on Cairo Radio. I get called out, you are defending guns. I'm not defending guns. Not here, not now. I don't view this as a gun control issue because I don't know how he got these guns. He's 17 years old. If the reports are true, he used a sawed-off shotgun. You can't just buy that, right? It's illegal to buy. He had pipe bombs. Is this a pipe bomb control issue? Is this an access to information online issue? Because presumably that's where he found out how to make a pipe bomb or pressure cooker bomb. Why is it that when this happens, it's almost like some of you folks, not all of you, in fact, most of you don't think like this, but the loudest ones tend to. The second something happens involving a gun, you don't care immediately about what happened. You care about your reaction to what happened. There's some people, it almost feels like they wait on Twitter. They're just sitting there waiting for something like this to happen so they can tweet out, I told you so, followed by, let's get rid of guns. I see lots of people tweeting about how an AR-15 was used. I haven't seen that report. I definitely saw a shotgun was used. Why is it that you're not focused on the shotgun? Why are you not focused on the actual gun of choice for mass shooters, which happens to be a handgun? I'm not having the gun control debate. I'm not going to do that today. I try not to politicize school shootings. This morning, this happened on my show when I was live, and I'm always hesitant to jump in and talk about stuff like this because I don't want to politicize it. And yet I go on Twitter nonstop tweets politicizing it. That stuff drives me nuts. How about this? Because we all want presumably the same thing, right? We want to make sure something like this does not happen again. We know that it's possible. But we'd like to see it not happen again. How about we wait and get all of the facts, and then we can have that conversation. Let's figure out exactly what happened. The shooter's still alive. Let's find out the motive, and let's figure that out. I'm Jason Rantz, and I'm filling in for The Dory Monson Show. To the Dory Monson Show in the Carter Subaru Studio. I am Jason Rantz filling in. Governor Jay Inslee and Secretary of State Kim Wyman announced that they're paying for paid postage on your ballots, though they won't be paying for it in King County this year, a move my next guest is upset about and says was patently unfair. Joining me on the line is the chair of the King County Council, Democrat Joe McDermott. Sir, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me.
So the reason why they're not paying for it is because King County Council decided to act unilaterally and pass their paid postage bill. Why is this shocking to you?
Well, first, let me say I'm glad that everyone in the state will have postage paid ballots to return their ballots this fall. I think that's an important investment in democracy and one that we've seen in King County dramatically improve voter participation, the number of ballots that are returned. So I'm excited by the fact that everyone in the state is going to have this opportunity. And then what happened is earlier this year in the legislature, there was a bipartisan bill to have postage paid ballots. That didn't get to the governor's desk before the end of the legislative session. And so, yes, King County took the step of funding postage paid ballots in the county, in the jurisdiction we can affect, last week.
Is the county good for the money? It's about $380-something thousand.
Yes. County's okay. good for the money, and it's a solid investment in democracy.
So then where is the concern? Because Governor Jay Inslee says they will reimburse you under the state legislature, but you'll have to wait until next year. If you've got the money there and it's a good, wise investment and you wanted to do it first, why are you upset?
Well, I didn't need to do it first, but it's an important investment in democracy, in voter participation, and when the state is going to make an investment in elections, I believe they should do that statewide. And they're going to front the money for 38 counties, and the 39th county, they will go to the legislature and ask for reimbursement come January. And you know that you can't count on anything the legislature is going to do until it's done. So that's a gamble. And it would be much better public policy for the state to be making a statewide investment rather than a selective investment.
Well, wouldn't they have made the statewide investment anyway, had you not moved at the time that you did?
The legislature adjourned earlier this year without postage paid ballots made, and there was the governor and the secretary of state were showing no sign of taking that issue up until after King County did what we could within our jurisdiction.
So what are you calling on the governor to do? Right now, you want him to find the funding for this? Have you had any conversation?
I'd invite the governor and the secretary of state to dig deeper into the budgets as they did to find the funds for 38 counties, to dig deeper and find the funds for all 39 counties, to front the funding for the entire state, not be selective about it and go ask for reimbursement later for King County.
You've already got the money, right? I mean, so here's my point, because I get why you're upset, right? I get the concern, but I also understand
my disappointment.
Yeah, but I also understand the perspective of the state official saying, look, you forced our hand, you moved before we did, so now we have to essentially create the paid postage program, which, by the way, I also am a supporter of, for different reasons, but I'm a total supporter of that. Why would they spend extra $384,000 if you've already found the money for it? Doesn't it make more sense from a budgetary standpoint, from their perspective, to just let the state legislature handle it next year when you've already found the money?
You know, if they're talking about investing state money in this and seeking reimbursement come January, why not make that an upfront investment for everybody now? And it's not just King County's budget that... Exactly. And why not make that investment in democracy?
Because they don't have to.
King County's,
but right, but I mean, because they don't have to. You've already made that investment. I'm just saying, from their perspective, they don't need to, because they know that either way, they're going to have every ballot covered. And it just seems, you know, when we're talking about this budget year, I have to assume whenever you're moving things around, it could get a little bit tricky. And so they're saying to themselves, yeah, they've already covered it. This is one less thing we have to worry about.
You're right. They don't have to, but it's about fairness. And I think it's important for the state to treat, if the state's going to make an investment in elections, they do that fairly statewide. And it's not just about King County's budget and King County's money. Remember that any jurisdiction, any local government that has a measure on the ballot reimburse is billed for their share of that election cost. And so cities, school districts, local jurisdictions across King County will be bearing their share of that investment, same jurisdictions in other counties won't be.
Sure, but the other side, so Kim Wyman's point, Secretary of State Wyman, Republican, her point is it's not fair to have one county decide that they're going to pay for the postage of everybody else. Wouldn't it have been more fair, even if it is a little bit annoying and doesn't go on the timeline that I think most people would have wanted who are proponents of this, wouldn't it have been more fair to let the state take this up when they clearly showed their willingness to take on the issue? It just didn't happen in this last session?
Well, are they clearly showing their intent to take up the issue if they don't adopt it? It's legislative action, not inaction, that shows intent.
Last question. Have you officially reached out to the governor's office to appeal to him?
The governor and the secretary of state, both.
And have they responded yet?
Not at present.
Okay. Well, once they do, we'll certainly be willing to make sure that that gets out there. I'd be curious to find out what the response is. Again, I've been talking with the chair of the King County Council, Democrat Joe McDermott, our Democratic friend who talks to a Republican, and I always like that. Thanks for coming on the show again, Councilmember McDermott. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you, Jason.
It's the Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio, 97.3 FM. I'm Jason Rantz, filling in for him. We're back in just a moment.
I'm proud to announce that 1-800-GOT-JUNK is now the official sponsor of spring cleaning. I thought we were the unofficial sponsor. Now it's official. Who had the power to make us the official sponsors of spring cleaning? When you breathe clean air and smell sweet flowers and taste fresh fruit and see a clear blue sky, that's Mother Nature shouting, good job, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. We work until midnight, 7 days a week. All you have to do is point. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Providing you with expert advice and quality materials is only half the job. The other half is getting those materials home safely when promised. Not everyone in Seattle has a van or truck. That's why we offer a flat $40 delivery for all local Dunn orders. Our delivery is just another way to make your home improvement project a success. If you have any questions about delivery, please contact me personally. Mike Dunn at DunnLumber.com.
Dunn Lumber, building success together.
Hey, it's John Curley from my good friends at AquaQuip. AquaQuip has teamed up with me to give away a jacuzzi hot tub. Now, jacuzzi is the original in hydrotherapy and delivers the ultimate in hydrotherapy massage. We're making it easy for you to win. Just go to mynorthwest.com/win to enter to win a jacuzzi J200 series hot tub. Some restrictions apply. Contest rules and full details at mynorthwest.com/win. Go see the good folks at AquaQuip and receive an additional 20% off any hot tub in stock. 9 locations or online at aquaquip.com.
Seldon's Designer Home Furnishings invite you to indulge guilt-free with their Memorial Day Savings Event, saving you up to 40% on outdoor and one-third off indoor. Seldon's features an unparalleled furniture selection, so you can express your unique style with confidence. Seldon's works with you, selecting the right products based on your lifestyle, taste, and budget. Your home makeover's only an idea away with Seldon's. Get in now to the Memorial Day Savings Event. It ends Memorial Day at Seldon's in Tacoma, Bellevue, or Seldon's.com.
Hey, Brock Hewitt here for Toyota Puyallup, one of the largest Toyota dealers in the Pacific Northwest. Carrie, what does that mean for me, the customer, when I come to your 8-acre lot there in Puyallup?
It means we have an amazing selection of new Toyotas. Right now, we have more than 800 to choose from. And the great thing about that is we have all the hard-to-find vehicles. And if for some reason we don't have what you're looking for, we have the ability to find it for you.
And we're pretty good friends by now, I think. I think I could ask you this. What is the best-selling model?
Yes, I can let you in on our little secret. It's actually the 2018 RAV4. I was surprised myself, but we sell more RAV4s than any other model. It's a great all-wheel drive. It can get you anywhere you want to go in the Northwest. It gets great fuel economy, up to 30 miles per gallon.
And now during the Summer Starts Here sales event, Toyota Puyallup has more than 90 RAV4s to choose from. Leases as low as $219 a month on that 2018 RAV4 LE. Toyota Puyallup, putting you first since 1970. 36-month lease, $34.99 due at sign approval of credit through TFS. Expires 5/31/18.
Comcast Business just introduced our best internet price ever. Right now, you can double your internet speed for an amazing new price. So you can download large files faster and power more employees on more devices with more bandwidth for your business. All for an incredible value. It's our best internet price ever. Power your business on our GigSpeed network and save today. Get 150 megabit internet for less than what 75 megabits used to cost. And for a limited time, get a $200 Visa prepaid card when you add a leading edge voice line. Act now. Call 1-800-501-6000 today or visit comcastbusiness.com/best internet price ever. Comcast Business. Built for business.
Prepaid offer in 6/21/18. Restrictions apply. New customers only. Requires Comcast Business Internet and one line of voice mobility service. Compares new regular monthly charge for Comcast Business Deluxe 150 Internet to old rate for Deluxe 75. Prices, equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change.
Hey, it's Mike Salk here for Serta Pro Painters. Look, when we bought our house a couple of years ago, we knew it was going to need some work. Did you know that one of the best ways to make your home look new again is just a simple, fresh coat of paint? If painting the inside or the outside is on your spring to-do list, call my good friends at Serta Pro Painters. Even though Serta Pro Painters painted inside for us, they do exteriors also. Plus, isn't it nice to just make those neighbors a little jealous with a new coat of paint on the outside? No one wants to worry about buying supplies and brushes, climbing up high ladders, or the mess and the cleanup. Now enjoy your weekends and leave the inside or outside painting to the pros. Plus, each Serta Pro Painters business is independently owned and operated, so they are part of our community. CertaPro will give you personal attention with every free estimate and every job. Give CertaPro painters a call. 1-800-GO-CERTA. That's 1-800-G-O-C-E-R-T-A. That's Certa with a C. Or go to CertaPro.com. CertaPro.com. Inside or outside, CertaPro painters. We do painting. You do life.
This is Laura Keel. Now at Laura'sHomeLoans.com. Call 1-833-ASK-LAURA.
Mortgage Master Service Corporation. CL40445. Equal Housing Opportunity.
Everybody, welcome back to the Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. I am Jason Rance filling in. You can normally catch me on my morning show on AM 770 KTTH 6-9 weekday morning. So I'm definitely, Nicole, not tired at all right now. I didn't get in at 3:30 a.m. I'm not tired. So why are you giving me that look?
It's Friday. You can deal with it.
So King County and Seattle City politicians, they're fueled by and full of this next topic. So why not power area trucks with our next topic, poop. Did you know that sewage is now being turned into biomethane gas to fuel some 120 trucks in King County? Specifically, the biomethane is going to be fueling trucks for Recology. That's essentially like the dump trucks that go, or the garbage trucks that go around. Caitlin Hunt of King County Wastewater Division is talking to King 5. Here she's explaining how they're turning your sewage into gas. Well, into gas that can power cars.
Right now, we are standing around the settling tanks. So when you're at home, when you use your sink, shower, or flush your toilet, all your water is coming here. We need to immediately separate the water.
Oh, and they separate it by hand, I think. Do you think they have machines? They have machines, right?
I'm pretty sure they
She's
have
She's getting
machines.
Awfully close to this.
Oh, from the solid material, all that organic material, like the poop and the food.
And this is step two.
Yeah. So now we are at the digesters. All the poop and the food that we have removed from the water is coming over to our digesters. Our digesters are actually...
They call it digesters, and that just really especially gross to me, and I don't know why.
She's just way too excited
She's
about
too
it.
She's too into it, right? Like, I know everyone... Sometimes you get people who have weird jobs, and... They are weird people, and so they act kind of weird about it.
Actually acting just like our own digestive system.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
98 degrees. The poop and the food in the digesters goes in, methane gas, and fertilizer comes out.
All right, so those were the steps to get this biomethane for powering the trucks, but this is really where the majority ends up.
Yeah.
What is this?
Exactly. So not only are we producing a fertilizer and a biogas, but we're mostly producing clean water. So this treatment plant on average is cleaning 80 to 90 million gallons of water a day.
What do they do with the water?
So wait, would you feel better if it was animal poop?
I don't.
For some reason, I would. Then it wouldn't be as gross to me. And why is that?
Well, what animals?
Any. Would you care?
I mean, I guess. Here, I generally take a position of, just don't tell me. If I'm not going to notice, you don't have to tell me.
It doesn't affect you.
Remember the story a year ago, 2 years ago, Bill Gates basically urinated into a cup and then put it into that system and it created clean drinking water and he drank it. If it's water, there's no more urine properties to the liquid,
right?
And it's 100% at this point, the water that we would normally drink. Don't tell me. Don't need to know. Because when you tell me, I'm not going to be able to get over it. And so when you tell me a whole bunch of trucks are driving around fueled by poop, I just can't help. But I'm going to start to smell things, and it'll all be in my head. And then I'll get kind of creeped out by it. And then the same thing with the water. Just don't tell me. I do not need to know. I do know that this is good for the environment. So I'm like, okay, cool. If we're not spending a whole bunch of money for this thing, awesome. Go ahead and do it. I can tell you this. If something were ever to go wrong with the system, that they are running out of material to turn into biomethane gas to fuel King County trucks, I would love to introduce them to a woman out of Canada who might be able to provide said material. It's a Canadian woman just over the border by Blaine.
I've been here.
She
I've
was
been to this place.
Yeah, she was so mad at a Tim Hortons coffee shop because they didn't let her use the bathroom. She decided to use floor as a bathroom. And just to let everyone know that she is ticked off at how she was treated, she then picked it up and threw it at the employee. There's
and then grabbed some napkins and wiped off her hands.
Yeah, and threw that as well. There's video of it, and I can never allow myself to go into any Tim Hortons again because of how traumatized I am by this video. It's become a viral sensation because of how graphic and disgusting it is.
And this woman looks like she just came from a workout class.
I assumed that this was someone who was either mentally ill or living on the streets or something, and they said no to her using the bathroom for that reason. Apparently, Tim Hortons has the opposite of the new Starbucks bathroom policy, which is it's up to the individual stores if they want to allow clients, customers, to use their toilets.
And they haven't said this is why she did it. They haven't confirmed that.
It seems implied because the argument started over not being allowed to use the bathroom.
Have they confirmed that?
That's what I saw in the New York Post this morning.
Okay. I've seen a couple different reports saying it's not clear, but they think that's what.
They got into some sort of fight.
But she was very angry.
Yes. But yes, I agree. It looked like she just came from a yoga class or was going to a yoga class. So she looks like an otherwise normal human being who you wouldn't expect to just use the floor as the toilet. Officers from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police detained her. Then they released her pending this court date that's supposed to happen in the next couple months. Prosecutors are considering whether they're going to actually file charges. How do you not file charges in a case like this?
I heard that they were debating what kind of charges.
Whether they're going to file charges. I hope that that's a misprint by the New York Post and they will, in fact, go after this woman because in addition to it just being disgusting, it's also dangerous and unhealthy. It's a biohazard that they're using that they could have easily just used to help fuel some of our trucks in the King County region.
Right.
I will also say this, and my apologies for this choice of topic. I do realize that it's at the end of your lunch, but to be fair, it's at the end of your lunch and you're choosing to listen while eating, and that's on you. I also kind of envy her just a little bit.
No, you don't.
Just a little bit. Not that I would ever want to do this, but like many Americans, I live with a sort of a mental issue of shyness when it comes to using public restrooms, that she's able to just do this in full view of everybody outside of the confines of an actual stall. There's something about that that
I'm pretty sure she was in a desperate situation.
Perhaps.
I'm sure you've been there.
I've been in desperate situations before, but I've been unable to still use a public restroom. And if I get in my own head and say someone's going to come into this restroom, I'm not going to be able to actually use it.
Right. I've been in probably desperate situations where if somebody just walks into the stall next to me, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So I'm...
That's pretty impressive.
But throw her in jail.
Ugh.
Now throw her in jail. If you want to join the conversation, you can send me an email. I broke on to Dory Monson's email account. His password was just password. I do not try to break in. I've already changed it. It's now password backwards. I'm kidding. But I've got all the access to his email. So go to mynorthwest.com, click on the inbox, and search for The Dory Monson Show. You can, of course, also send us a text message at 98973. That's 98973. Thank you so much for all the texts. We usually get, like, the first 10 texts. Who's this prissy boy filling in for Dory? I thought Jason left. And then all the nice ones come in. So I'm only focused, of course, on the first 10 that we
That's
got.
That's after you've texted your friends.
Yeah, they'll say, hey, text us. I'm Jason Ransom, filling in for The Dory Monson Show.